Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
To become a superhero, your faith has to go against traditions and the status quo. Or this, we tried that and it didn't work. Well, it doesn't mean that when you tried it or not. Well, who do you think you are? Get ready for criticism. Exodus chapter 3. Are you there yet? Some of y'all still looking for it. I know it's in there somewhere. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? Now, intellectual activity is starting to take place in Moses. Range and research is starting to take place in Moses. Induction and reasoning is starting, because he's seeing something burning that's not burning. And when the Lord saw, notice that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Or if you watch the Ten Commandments, it's like, Moses, Moses. How many of y'all remember? That's good. You know who was that voice? Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston was the voice of God, and it was Moses. Just thought I'd tell y'all that. Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And then he said this. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thy standest is holy ground. So wherever God is, the ground gets holy. Would you write that down? So if God is in you, then you walking in holy shoes, or you should be. Verse 6 is where I want to get to. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God always tells you who he is. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I want to go back to that generations there. He says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When I saw that in the scripture, something began to turn inside of me. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God of family. God is interested in family. But yet these three different family members have totally different cultures or different ways of doing things. Now, one thing I do in my ministry, one of the most important departments of my ministry is the prayer department. People calling in, writing in on the, emailing or internet, however they do all that stuff, plus writing letters. And I get a copy of every prayer request. It's put up on my desk. It's pretty thick, but it goes there. And I flip through that page, and there's names. And I begin call. I do this personally. Call their names out and pray and begin to see. Now, we have quite an extensive mailing list, you know, literally all over the world. And God has been gracious and good to us. He's blessed us, and people support us, and we thank God for that, because 100% of it goes into God's work, because we're all debt-free, and it's a blessing. But the thing I'm trying to get is the devil don't have no new tricks. What he's doing in England, he's doing in Fort Worth. I found he spread pretty thin. He don't really have any new ideas at all. And he's doing exactly the same thing in Seattle that he's doing in Miami, because I got people writing me from Seattle and people writing me from Miami or whatever. Exact same problems. I mean, almost to the T, like as if they would know each other. Then I realized that the devil's stretched pretty thin, that he can't do all the work that he wants to do, that he's got every demon on assignment. He's got every imp he can find. But still, that's not enough, because people are still getting saved. So what now he's done, he's now starting to interview in the church for people who will work for him. Now, Dr. Dollar was a little serious last night, so I'm gonna get a little serious. I get funny after a while, but hang on, praise God. Let me get this into it. So he realizes, I cannot accomplish all my work, the time's short. So I'm gonna get some of the Christians to do it for me. And if you look in the book of Revelation, one of the churches has a seat Satan has a seat in the church. And it could be on the platform. Or it may be in the first pew. So now he's interviewing people. It's kind of like an old joke I heard one time. This man was going to a masquerade party, and he went as the devil. I mean, he dressed up one in devil suits, and I mean a thunderstorm coming. Well, Brother Copeland called him frog strangling range, you know. I mean bad, and he just killed his car, killed, you know, the water and everything. And, man, he's in his devil suit, and he didn't know what to do, and he said, my Lord, what I'm going to do? So he sees this little church out there, and he said, well, I'm going to run and get, you know, get out this thing. I mean, the water was running, so he come running in that church and ran into the vestibule, a little small church, and people turned around, saw him, and went squint the screaming and the holler and ran out the church in the rain, except one old lady, boy, who could barely walk. She said, don't hurt me, Mr. Devil. I've been on your side for 40 years. So, you know, she was interviewed and got the job. So, now God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Take off the shoes from off thy feet, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. So when I saw I am the God of thy father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord, the title of this message is the God of superheroes, regular Joes, and slick willies. I won't deal with that tonight. The God of superheroes, the God of regular Joes. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the God of superheroes. Because in those prayer requests, there are a lot of people crying out to me saying, I trusted this preacher. And he failed me. We found out he'd been running around and been stealing money and been sleeping here and sleeping there. And he ain't sleeping where he's supposed to be sleeping. And it really hurt me. And yet, he still has power. He still has money. He's doing no more television. People just say, well, praise God, go on about it. Now, how can that be when, now this is coming from the people. And I think as ministers of the gospel, we should be able to answer these questions. Instead of saying, well, I don't know. Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to you. So we have to answer those things. Because, I mean, this is serious business. Because some people are walking away from God because of the way the ministry is operating in certain places. See, things that are happening. And I know God said in the last days, it wasn't the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come. So there was only 8 righteous people, and none of them believed anything Noah said. See what I'm saying? But yet there were some problems in Noah's family that he never really figured before the flood, and it manifested after the flood and caused all kinds of trouble. So, you know, we have to answer this. If Jesus said you're clean, then Jesus said it to his disciples, now are you clean through the Word of God? I don't want to get too long on that. So, when I saw these prayer requests, and they named names, and they didn't used to name names, but I'm just saying, and crying, I want to know, and Lord Jesus, help me, because, you know, their faith was in that individual. And how can people get healed when this guy is a homosexual? How can people get healed when this guy's stealing money, sleeping with the piano player, sleeping with the guitar player, sleep with anybody, and going more on television, buying this, buying that. And here you are, you're serving God, you're in a church, or you love the Lord, you're beating your brains out to pay the light bill in your church, you're living holy and just seem like, Lord Jesus, why? God, what is these things? So let's deal with that today. I want to try to answer that to the best of my ability. So he says, moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now write this down. Interviews with God need much preparation. When you're going to have an interview with God, you better prepare yourself because you're coming up to someone you have no idea of the knowledge of God. So interviews with God need much preparation. What that means is you need more than intellectual curiosity. Write that down. You need more than intellectual curiosity. What I'm saying is this. If you want to know something from God and you want to get it directly from His mouth, it's going to take more than intellectual curiosity. And you better be prepared because you're coming up to the Most High God. And you have that right because He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. And I love what Brother Jairus preaches, the throne of favor. So He's not the judgment, it's the throne of favor, the throne of grace. He's trying to help you. But He is a God that judges also. Just like you, you love your family, but there comes a time when you have to discipline your children. Yeah, you don't like it, and if you do, something's wrong with you. You see what I'm saying? Nobody likes it, but love in its purest form is discipline. So, interviews with God need much preparation. You need more than just intellectual curiosity. I want to put that as a foundation here. So here comes Moses. He says, I will turn and see this great sight. See, that's intellectual curiosity. That's induction and reasoning. That's range and research. Why is that bush not being burned? He don't realize the bush is going to talk. He ain't got that. He's just thinking, Lord, something on fire out there. What is that? Wait a minute. Why is it not being consumed? See, that's intellect. See, he's right ready to have an interview with God. What he's about ready to find out is his destiny and his destination. And all of a sudden, God says, and he defines himself, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham. So let's deal with the God of Abraham, the God of a superhero. What makes a superhero? He calls those things that be not as though they were. Here's a man who is 75 years old and about ready to retire. And his wife is 10 years, she's 65, and the law says, get up out of your house, leave this place, don't take any family, and go to a place where I will show thee. Now, you got to understand something. He didn't tell him where he was going. He just told him to start walking. Now, it takes strong faith to believe that, because at the time that God said that to Abraham, he was not Abraham, father of a multitude. He was Abram, a heathen from Iraq. I think that's where that place was, up in that general area, Iraq, where Abraham came out of, whatever the name of the Hebrew name of, in that general area. And he said, what? Then he also, he's got to tell his family, listen, I'm leaving. Where y'all going? We don't know. Now, God expects a superhero to walk by faith and not by sight. Where you going, Abe? I don't know. You mean you're just going to walk out in the desert? That's where we're going. What you gonna do when you get out there? I don't know. Are you coming back? No. Well, how are we gonna find where you are? How can we contact you? I don't know. What making you do this? I heard a voice. You heard a what? I heard a voice. You heard a voice. What did he sound like? God. What God? I don't know. But I gotta go. Sarah said, I will follow this man wherever he goes. He goes, I go. Family don't understand that. He said, don't take any of your family. And Abraham's first mess up, he took that boy Lot. You know, that ought to tell you something. Anybody that names somebody after a piece of property is a little strange. They saw that kid. He looked like a piece, he looked like a parcel of land. Let's just call him Lot. You know, it's just kind of strange. Now watch this. The God of Abraham, the God of the faithful, the superhero. Now watch this. What he was doing was, write this down. A superhero's faith goes against tradition and the status quo. See, to become a superhero, your faith has to go against traditions and the status quo. Or this, we tried that and it didn't work. Well, it doesn't matter whether you tried it or not. Well, who do you think you are? Get ready for criticism. Because see, you're going against tradition and you're going against the status quo. You can't do that. You can't do this, but God says you can. Yeah, but you have no evidence to the fact that it's gonna happen. Don't make no difference. God said, go, I go. But where are you going? See, now, like I said, who cares? Why do they want to know to start with? Because they're not going with you. When God told me to go into ministry, I said, I don't know a preacher. He said, but you know me. Now, I don't tell you to do this unless God tells you to do this. So I went, I just quit my job. I came home, I said, Kathy, I'm going into ministry. She said, you don't know nobody. I said, yeah, but I know God. And he told me to go. She said, okay, where are we going? I said, I don't know. Then I looked at a yellow phone on the wall. I said, ring, and it rang. And it was a man had been fasting and praying for 3 days. And he was a wonderful man named Brother Garrison from Lake Charles, Louisiana. He said, Brother Jesse? I said, yes, sir, how you do it? And I hadn't talked to this man in, God, what, 10 years, 12, 15 years, just a long time. He said, I was praying, and the Spirit of God called, talked to me and told me to ask you, would you come to my church on a Friday night? This was Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I said, let me check my calendar. I didn't even have a calendar. I didn't know what to do. I said, you mean tomorrow night? He said, yes. I said, I'll be there. He said, fine. I said, Kathy, we are in the ministry. She said, okay. And that's how it started. Now, my mother-in-law, everybody, my daddy said, boy, you don't quit your job, you're going to starve. I said, Daddy, you're the one that told me to live by faith. He said, I know I said that, but don't get crazy. I said, well, Daddy, I heard the voice of God. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Are you real sure? I said, have you ever heard the voice of God, Daddy? He said, yeah. I said, well, are you sure? He said, Yeah. I said, what are you questioning me for? I'm going. But you got a great job. I said, I'm going. And I went. And the first service I preached, I booked 7 revivals. After the service, 7 pastors came up to me and said, would you come preach at my church? I said, when? He said, what are you doing Sunday? I said, nothing. I just went full-time ministry yesterday at 3:00. That's exactly what I said. He said, well, after you finish with him, would you come to me? I said, yes, I would. So they all got in line. I said, y'all got a calendar? They said, you don't have a calendar? I said, I just went into full-time ministry. I don't know what I'm doing. Get me a piece of paper. I wrote down, and I booked 7 weeks. And within 7 weeks, I was booked for a year. And then from the year, I've been booked, my Lord Jesus, till the rapture. I cannot go everywhere God wants me to. I mean, the people write me. I don't mean that arrogant. Just, see, I had to go against my traditions and my status quo. Because they said, yeah, but you don't know nobody. I know I don't know nobody, but I knew God. Now, you got to know God. See, when you know the voice of God, if somebody can talk you out of stopping the voice of God in you, oh, you're not as strong as you think you are. See, so Abraham, his faith made him go against traditions and the status quo. Now, notice this. That doesn't mean I never had temptations, tests, and trials, because when I went preaching, I didn't know anything about money. I remember a lady gave me $10. No, yeah, she gave me $10 from a Sunday through Sunday. She said, now, that's your food allowance, and we're not going to give you any more. I said, okay. She said, if you go to Popeye's and buy a Coke, they'll give you a free biscuit. That's a true story. Now, you got to understand, so I was making money like hand over fist when I was living for the devil, but when I went to work for God, oh, Jesus, it got bad. So I thought, well, they said, you have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I said, is that in the Bible? He said, yeah. I said, well, I'll do that. And I didn't know any difference. And when you don't know, when you're not raised around that, you didn't know. And they said, you can stay in that, that Sunday school room on that army cot. I said, fine. Now, you're going to have to get up early because, you know, they got 9:00 service for the kids. Okay. I never said a word. I never once complained. I didn't make any difference. I come home, Kathy said, well, how was it? I said, it was great. She said, how come your neck's like this? I said, I slept on an army cot. She said, army cot? They didn't give you a bed? I said, well, they gave me an army cot. She said, what's that rash on you? I said, didn't have no sheets. I said, but Kathy... And I just forgot. I said, you should have seen people. They just really enjoyed it. See, I didn't know I was having it bad. I was walking by faith. Now, you got to understand, I had made a lot of money in my life before, and money didn't give me any happiness, so I knew not to go back to that. That's crazy. But literally, I didn't know nothing about sowing and reaping until somebody gave me a Kenneth and Gloria Copeland tape. Yeah, from a John Osteen Thanksgiving convention. Somebody said, I said, Lord, I like this guy. You know, he can eat. Superhero. I said that to say this. A superhero, his disappointments purify his faith instead of destroying it. Want to know if you're a superhero? When temptation, tests, and trials come, are you purified or are you destroyed? Think about that. This is the God of an Abraham. So his, and I want to do a little teaching tonight without getting too crazy and wild here. So, when temptation, tests, and trials came to me, instead of destroying me, it purified me. They said, you know, you're having a hard time. I said, uh-huh. I ran out of gas on the road, blessed God, and prayed, God help me. Lord Jesus, I mean, I would stop, and people and sinners would help me, and all kinds of stuff. Now, I mean, I was being tested, but the most wonderful thing was I was passing the test. Now, most people say, oh, you can't do that. Man, you mean you're going to ministry. You know, I got to provide for my family. I had a wife. I had a daughter. I knew I had to provide for my family. I've always been a hard-working man. That's not the issue. But I knew God said so. I said, God, this is completely against the way anybody builds a ministry. Do you have a business card? No. Do you have a newsletter? No. Do you have any tapes? Well, I got some rock tapes if y'all want some of that. No. I have a Bible. That's it? I said, I think that's all I need. Because if I got a Bible, I'll get the tapes. If I got a Bible, I'll get the sheets. Now, I didn't know that at that time because I was studying. I was just glad that God would call me. So, I mean, people gave me hard times. But instead of it destroying me, it purified me. Yeah, I had one guy say, I came to preach. And he said, we're fasting this week. I said, oh, this is a forced fast. I said, okay. So we didn't eat the whole week. I came home, Kathy said, you lost weight. I said, I ain't eat yet. She said, when's the last time you eat? I said, last Sunday. She said, they didn't feed you? I said, there's fasting. She said, you hungry? I said, if a dog walked by, I'd bite his ear off. Yeah, I'm hungry. I was hungry, man. But I didn't know. And at the end of the week, he took an offering every night. Every night, said, it's all going to Brother Jesse. And then at the end of the night, on Friday night, he shook my hand and said, God bless you. We'd love you to come. We'd love you to come back. Stupid me. I said, when? I didn't know. I said, I'll come back next year if you like. See, I didn't know that you were supposed to receive an offering. I didn't know. I was just preaching because the Lord had called me. So Kathy said, did they give you an offering? Because she hadn't gone to church more than I said, no. They didn't give you nothing. I said, they gave me a Dr. Pepper. She said, well, at least you wasn't thirsty. But I tell you, my tongue went to the bottom of that Dr. Pepper can because I drank it all, and then I just licked the inside of it. Lord, I was hungry. Wasn't funny. It was tough. So what does a superhero do? His disappointments purify him instead of destroy him. There are a lot of people wanting to be in the ministry. They got to have a $100,000 a year salary. Nothing wrong with that. That's not the issue. But what are you willing to do for God? And what are you willing to let God do for you? So now watch this. Now, see, I didn't have a problem because I never thought of my future being bad. When you're a superhero, God's will, write this down, God's will was so strong in Abraham that the future had no risk for him.
I love this month's partner offer, Four Ways to Imitate God. I often say, the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. We should be examples of Christ with the fragrance of God on us and flowing through us. Get your copy at jdm.org and start walking in God's great love and power. It's for you. Get it today.
Hello and welcome to Glorious Moments. I love the Passion Translation of Psalms 8:1. It says, Lord, your name is so great and powerful. People everywhere see your splendor. Your glorious majesty streams from the heavens, filling the earth with the fame of your name. Glory to God. I love that verse. Every testimony that we share with the world is a declaration of his glorious majesty that is streaming from the heavens. Let's begin here. Thank you for your boardroom chat. Use the language of love. It was sweet and just what was needed. Your teaching and the faith of your ministry helped me get over illness more than once. The Lord healed me through listening to Jesse and Kathy. Praise the Lord. Amen. And to God be all the glory. He is our healer, and I love that. This next testimony will bless you. It says, a few years ago, God saved me from dating a married man. When the light from God came, I recognized sin, and God gave me power to fight and be free. It's fun to obey God, endure temptations, and have victory always. Now I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Thank you, Jesse and Kathy. You changed my life and helped me to recognize sin. Isn't that amazing? Our God is a powerful God. Now, I know that this next glorious moment will bless you. It reads this way. Brother Jesse, I watched your heaven message about 6 times over the past few years, and every time I do, I weep buckets of tears. You asked the congregation at the end of this message whether it witnessed with their spirit. It certainly witnessed with mine. And somehow it deeply imparted a touch of heaven to me in a way that I can't even articulate. God bless you, and may He continue to use this message to tell His people that He is coming back soon. I love that. You know, I thank you so much for allowing me to share these glorious moments with you today. I'm praying that and believing with you for you to receive your miracle, and I believe it will happen. God bless you.
Do you know that every born-again believer has a God-given right to receive overwhelming blessings from God? In my book, Overwhelmed, you'll be challenged to say no to limited thinking by understanding all that belongs to you.
It's your birthright to experience overwhelming favor in every area of your life. Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation of $5 or more at jdm.org.
It's time to be overwhelmed in a good way by God's power. Get your copy and be blessed. I hope you enjoyed watching this classic message as much as I did. You know, God wants you to be a superhero of faith. Remember, God is in you, not just around you or about you, but in you. And you're walking in holy shoes. My God, think about that. See, Abraham was a superhero of faith simply because he believed. He considered not, he staggered not, he was fully persuaded. We can do exactly the same thing. All we have to do is do what he did. Pretty simple. There's so much more to this message that you didn't get to see. You can watch the entire sermon on our free JDM app, and you will be blessed by it. Our wonderful product is my new book. I tell you what I love. It's called Overwhelmed. Are you walking in God's abundant blessings? He wants you to, you know. This book here will really open your eyes to all that God has for you. And I mean that. You see, I quit using the word blessing. That's a great word. I said, but it isn't big enough. God is overwhelming. Now, to get it, go to jdm.org for all the details and get your copy today. Partners, thank you. You overwhelm me. 49 years of preaching this glorious word. I've never had a financial deficit because of you, because of me, because both of us bleed together so we can get this gospel out. Nothing too small and nothing too big. I got more projects, my God, on my desk. And, you know, and I'm 76 years old at this time. Right now, you know, people say, you think you ever going to retire? Don't think so. My lady said, well, you don't look 76. I think I do. You know, but I have energy because there's work to be done. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important. I mean, I asked the Lord for every dollar given to my ministry. Give me a soul. You give me $1,000, I'll get 1,000 people born again. I know how to do that. And God is so good. Thank you for watching us today, partners, and thank you for supporting us and believing us because we believe in you. Till next week, Jesse saying, I love you. Bye-bye.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Create your world and walk in it. See, once you understand your destiny, your destination, and all the things that go with it, it is no problem.
Today's journey is a stepping stone towards tomorrow's dream. You may have to do some things you never thought you could do, but you will accomplish all that God called you to do.
You can, I can, we can, because He can. And you will walk here just like as if you'd be in heaven.
Do you realize that God wants you to thrive, prosper, and achieve everything He's called you to do? Well, in my book, Suited for Success, I'm going to show you how to be fully equipped with all the essentials that you need to live a victorious and prosperous life. Your victory has already been settled. You can and will accomplish every dream God put in your heart. Suited for Success. Order your copy at jdm.org today.
It was the habit of Jesus to sow seed thoughts in the mind of men and women rather than give detailed instructions. See, He believed that the seed thought would grow to a harvest in your mind because you have been given the mind of Christ.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.